Would like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, to be able to call upon you and ask you for your blessing on your word. And Lord, that you might empower the service with your Holy Spirit, that we would hear from you. Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives, empowered and strengthened to be the witnesses you've called us to be, the light of the world. Bless again, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Power That Worketh in Us." The power that worketh in us. There's a lot of things we can learn about the Word of God. The greatest thing we can have, though, is the power of God in our lives to make the difference, that the world might see the Lord Jesus Christ in you and I. And that's, I don't understand it. That's God's plan from eternity past. And we're going to look at that here tonight just for a few moments. And I want you to understand, it's God's intention and purpose for every believer to experience the power of God in their lives. Do you believe that? We just read that. It's in the Word of God. It's not something that I'm making up. God wants us to experience his power in our lives. And we can think a lot of different things. Oh, we're not worthy. We don't have any strength in ourselves. You know, what will people think? All these things are true. We're not worthy. Whatever they think, let them think it, but may God be glorified in and through our lives and lives changed. That'll be worth it all. In heaven, 1 second in heaven, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to appear to be geniuses, right? Today we may be looked at as fools, right? And crazy people, and oh boy, those Bible-believing people, but in 1 second, and eternity is going to say, boy, they knew what they were talking about. We missed it, didn't they? And we don't want them to miss it. And the difference can be made on this side if the glory of God will be seen. Because it's not us. It will be God in us that will help them to see the grace of God that they can also have for themselves. So I want to back up a little bit. And I want you to consider just two thoughts tonight. The purpose of God and the process of God to experience his power in us. Two thoughts. The last one has a couple of parts to it, but look at the purpose of God in verse 10. Look at this. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So God has purposed for you and I to know the manifold wisdom of God. But notice this in verse 11, "according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is God's eternal purpose. From eternity past, he chose to glorify himself through the saved child of God. That was his plan. And so that's the purpose of God. And if it's his purpose, that means it's his will. And if we will receive it, he will perform it. That's just basically all there is to it. And by the way, listen, we need the Lord to help us to understand how much we need him to fulfill that in and through our lives. And that's where the excitement begins. That's where the exciting part takes place, where you pray and God, all of a sudden God starts moving. Don't you know the disciples were awed every time God answered? We don't see that all the time. But you remember when Peter was locked up in prison and the angel smote him on the side, woke him up. He was resting easy in prison. That was the grace of God. How was he able to get such deep sleep when he knew it could have been his head that night or the next morning? So the angel frees him, unlooses the chains, and he thinks he's having a vision. And then all of a sudden he comes to himself when he's outside the gates. And so what does he do? He goes over to the disciples where the disciples are at, and he knocks. And if I'm not mistaken, the lady's name was Rhoda, if I'm not mistaken. And she's so excited, and Peter's saying, "It's me." And she leaves him at the door to tell the disciples, "Hey, Peter is at the door." Oh, you're seeing things. It's just his spirit, right? See how we are. We're a little hard-headed, but let me ask you, when they finally realized that it was Peter,
Didn't they worship the Lord and say, how great our God is? Look what he is doing in our lives. And by the way, as many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministries that God had them involved in. And by the way, the ministries were simply sharing the gospel. And God was moving and God was working. They were rejoicing and praising the name of God because of his grace. That's the same thing God wants you and I to experience on this side. And you know, I've thought this. Boy, we live in rough times, don't we? Not any rougher than the first century. Nero was lighting up Christians. I don't see any of us being lit up to light up the gardens, and people were being put in the arenas there, coliseums, and lions were eating them in the first century. All different kinds of crazy things. All the way for several centuries that was taking place, and we don't have that obstacle and that situation in our lives. So we have more liberty, really, to serve the Lord than we really realize. I think it would do us well to not look to the things of the world and look to the Word of God, and I think we'll be a little bit more liberated. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be informed, but sometimes that information really doesn't do a lot of good for our spiritual outlook and our relationship to the Lord. So let's look at a couple of things tonight and consider the process of God, what he does in order for us to experience his power in us. First of all, there's a revelation. I want to back you up to chapter 3, verse 1. And I want you to see this revelation that God reveals to us, beginning in Paul. I want you to know this. What Paul had in his life, other than the calling of being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same relationship that Paul had with the Lord is the same relationship that God wants to have with you and I. Paul, you know, we say, oh, Paul. But come on, listen. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. There's nothing in me. He told us many times. He wanted to make it clear that what God had given to him in a relationship is for you and I to enjoy as well. So he says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by what? Revelation. By revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. A mystery is something that has not been revealed. So there was a mystery that God was revealing to the Apostle Paul. And that same mystery God wants you and I to understand in the same experience. So he says here, how that by revelation, verse 3, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. You might understand the same thing that I know, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Did you let that soak in? Paul wants us to understand the same knowledge that he received concerning the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, there's that revelation again, unto his holy apostles and prophets. How? By his Spirit. Okay? So he is wanting them to understand, wanting you and I to understand. It's a revelation. It's something he didn't know that God had revealed to him. God is wanting you and I to know things that he wants to reveal to us concerning our salvation, our relationship with the Lord. It is wonderful, and it's a beautiful beginning. It's a wonderful truth that we are saved by the grace of God eternally, and we have a home in heaven that can never be taken away from us. Because that came by a second birth. We were born into that. It is our birthright, not because, listen, it's my birthright to be a angel, amen? But I didn't have a choice in that matter. I didn't have a choice in that matter. I was put into that family, amen? And I'm glad of it. Now wait, we were also placed into the family of God by grace. And we were also as well born into that. So that's our birthright. Not that we had anything to do with it. God had everything. And all we had to do was just receive the love of God. And so now we have this birthright. And now he says, I want you to understand that's just the beginning. And now he wants us to move into the mysteries of God. Now he wants us to. And why are they mysteries? Well, because the natural mind doesn't understand the things that are spiritual. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, is he not our teacher? Is he not the one that comforts us? Is he not the one that brings us into these truths? And so we have to be reliant upon the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid we make too little today about the importance of the Holy Spirit. God gave us His Holy Spirit that we would not be naive or ignorant or missing any of the blessings that God wants you and I to have. Now, there's some people that take it to an unbiblical extreme, if you will, okay? And there's deception, I'm sure, that's involved with that. But let us not think little or be afraid of the Holy Spirit because of what some people that profess to be Christians are doing. And I don't understand how they can make that kind of a profession, because they're the same ones that tell you that you can lose your salvation. So I don't know what they have for salvation, but my salvation is in the hand of God. I'm in the hand of God. You're in the hand of God, and no man can take us out. I like that. All right, so with that said, let's look at this process that God brings the believer into to experience His power. The first thing is understanding there's yet more to have in our relationship with the Lord. Salvation is just the very beginning. Now He says, I want you to understand that we are partakers of His promise by His power. We can know about those promises, but we cannot enter into them without His power. The believers, the Israelites, were brought out of Egypt to be brought into the promised land, but they wandered out in the wilderness because they neglected their need for God. They looked at it from a human perspective, and what did they do? They moan, they groan, they complain. We don't have any bread, we don't have any water, we don't have any food, right? Wasn't it just a bunch of complaining? So wouldn't you dare say complaining is not the way to get the blessings of God? There is a different way. So complaining is not. So here it is. Ready? Mark this down. If you and I are complaining, we are not going to be the recipients. If we're upset, if we're disappointed, that's not the spirit of Christ. God wants us to have His peace just on Sundays, right? Is that what He wants us to have? Listen, I want to remind you of something. The Word of God is critical, foundational, and important. But it is the discipline of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life that is going to enable us to grow spiritually by leaps and bounds. We are learning the instructions to apply by the grace of God in the everyday workaday life. Not only that, but listen. Prayer is important and it's essential, and we're going to realize this because our spirit, hear me clearly on this, and the Lord's spirit are so intertwined. Remember I mentioned this morning that the Holy Spirit is made reference in lowercase and in uppercase, and in the capital S and in the lowercase S. And the reason for that is because when Jesus said, you're going to understand that I am in you and you're in me and we're in the Father, He says it's going to be such an intermingling that you're not going to really be able to distinguish the difference between the two. So we know what the Holy Spirit is, and we need to be able to know what we are without the Holy Spirit, because that's not what we want. What we want to do is we want to see the grace of God. And again, I mentioned Paul's writing the book of Ephesians here. You'll pick up his personality, if you will, in it. But it is the Word of God because of the Holy Spirit that's in it. So it is the Spirit of Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is writing these words to the believers. Where is the old man? He's crucified. He has been broken, not destroyed, but in other words, broken so that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Paul can come forward and write the Word of God. Listen, God wants our old man to be out of the way or broken, that your spirit and our spirit, when we speak, listen, when we speak, there is the movement of the Holy Spirit, so that when the lost person hears the Word of God, they are hearing God through us. Now, that's not blasphemous. We are not God. I am not saying that, but are we indwelt with the Spirit of God? And you're going to see it will be that Spirit. That is the power of God. Remember, not by our might, but by His power. So keep that thought in mind. And notice what happens here in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, listen, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So this is how we're to be partakers of the same promise. Verse 7, he says, whereof I was made a minister according, listen to how Paul is operating. He was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of whose power? It's God's power. And that's the same, listen, Paul wants you and I to have the same understanding, because that's where God is glorified, that's where lives are changed, and the change he wants to take place is beginning in your home and mine. That the Spirit of Christ might be experienced there. He does not want us to be hypocrites. He doesn't want us to put on for anybody. He wants to be real in our everyday life. So he says this, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? This is what he wants us to experience and to give to others, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He is wanting to reveal that through your life and mine. Okay? So, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Does God want us to understand this? Yes. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, notice, boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So here's what he's saying. We're partakers of his promise. He is revealing this to his church. And he's wanting us to understand that you and I, by birthright, have the right to approach the throne of grace. Now, he's going to get ready to tell us the continuing process. He's revealing what we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, really, what we've been given already, we just have to access it by the grace of God, understanding it's by him. But here's the beginning of it. Ready? And this is what makes a lot of people a little bit leery and maybe a little fearful. Look at verse 13. And this is the work of tribulation. Wherefore I desire, he just unloaded a bunch of truth to the believers that should have excited them, right? And then he says, now, wherefore, because of what I just said, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. This is the breaking of the outer man or the old man, that the Holy Spirit with our spirit can be released into the world, beginning in our own homes and into the church and out into the world. That is the light of God, the grace of God in you, the glory of God in you. That is not blasphemous. That is the truth of the Word of God. It's his spirit that changes your life and mine. Not just eternally bound for heaven, but presently here on earth. So he says, I don't want you to be afraid or fear or of the tribulations that he's experiencing, what God is doing in his life. And because it really, we have to be willing to trust the Lord. He's the writer of the book of Romans by the Holy Spirit. And he said, all things work together for our good, do they not? Not some things, not most things, but how many things? All things. Now, can we trust the Lord to have his way in all things? So you're going to sense, listen, God doesn't want your quick wit. God doesn't want your intellect. God wants our submission to die to self. He wants us to die to self. So you know when you say something and you think that was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. Kind of funny or impressive or whatever it is, but that's us. That's not what God wants. God wants us to die to self. So, Lord, I am asking you, listen, don't let this go over your head. I'm asking you to break the old man, that you can come forth. We are not going to finagle anybody or persuade anybody without God about eternal life, are we? So we better be finished with what we could do for God and say, I've had enough of what I could do for God. I want to see what God can do, that he wants to do through me. So in order to do that, we have to be willing to die to self. Every time we complain, every time we try to justify, that's self coming out. That's self. Get a load of self, and we ought to loathe self, because that will hinder the working of God. Anytime, listen, we need to allow God and realize that God is allowing, when people rub us the wrong way, that is God crucifying the flesh. The old man, the flesh, the outer man, that's all the same thing. That it's us that needs to be out of the way, broken, so that God's Holy Spirit can make his way through, and he will do it. And listen, more can be done for the glory of God by not saying anything than by saying things. And what I mean by that is with getting the old man out of the way, because we love ourselves. That's just our nature. We are lovers of self. Don't offend me. Don't. Nope. Right. Oh, they do that to me. And, I don't know, but you know, right? Don't admit if you ever said that, right? But what we're telling them is we're going to give somebody what for? For what, I don't know, but we're going to give them what for? And it will never honor and glorify the Lord. And what God is trying to do is to put the old man down. And we love self too much that we don't even know how to let him go. So God, I need you to help me to know how to let the old man go, okay? We don't want to see ourselves. We want to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so he says this here. I don't want you to faint at my tribulations in verse 13. For this cause I bow my knees. Because of these tribulations, listen to this, verse 14. For this cause, because of what God is doing in tribulation, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? That's what causes us to worship the Lord. Believe it or not. Now that is foreign to our flesh and to ourselves. Through tribulation, we will bow our knees before the Lord. Oh, listen, that is not palatable at all to the flesh. That is not what we're going to win the world over with, but that is the truth that will win the believer and that will bring us to the place of worshiping God. So here it is, ready? By the way, listen, God wants us to see him throughout the day, every day, and brought to this place of worship. Paul's not just he doesn't just have this letter to write to these disciples here. He is experiencing God, and this is what he's experiencing on a daily basis throughout the day. So he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's praising the Lord for that. So as we consider here in verse 16, I want you to see what the work of tribulation produces. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you. Don't be afraid of this, because this is what's going. Trust the Lord. All things are for our good. And allow yourself, ask God to bring you to the place to where he can crucify the old man and break the old man, that the Spirit of God with our spirit would be released to honor and glorify him, and we'll begin to see and experience the will of God taking place in our life. Verse 16, that he would grant you according, listen, through this tribulation, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, listen, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I didn't make that up. You saw that, didn't you? Inner man. The outer man has to be put to death, crucified, that the inner man through the Holy Spirit might come out. We will never experience that until we understand that that's done through tribulation. Now, I don't know what kind of tribulation, but a lot of times it's not what we think it is, but you'll see it and understand it when the Holy Spirit will call to you, okay, this was said, this was done, don't say anything. That's going to be 9 times, die to self. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to explain yourself. You have to allow the Lord through tribulation to break the old man. Stop defending it. That's not who you are anymore. Who we are is a child of the King by the Spirit of God. And that will never be seen as long as we're in the way. And I promise you, the more we're talking, the less God's going to be working. I just find it to be the case. The more I end up trying to say for myself and do for myself, I step away and I looked to the Lord and I said, I missed it, didn't I, God, on that one? I shouldn't have done that. That was I just walked away and I just smelt myself and I thought that's not what God wanted to see. And so God is saying, stop and allow me to work. Now, I want you to know something. I've been nurturing myself for many years, and that is not an easy thing to do. In fact, it's an impossible thing for me to do, but God can do it for me. As long as I'm willing to say, God, I want you to kill the old man, and I want to see you through me. You'll be surprised how much God will call to our attention. And we will begin to see the difference. And then all of a sudden we'll see the Spirit. We'll say, oh, that's it. That is what God was talking about. And we'll be able to see ourselves. And then we'll begin to abhor, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, my goodness. Slay the old man. Slay the old man that you might come forth. All right, verse 16 again. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Listen, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's talking to saved children of God. But see, the problem is that the Lord is not dwelling or living through us the way that God has intended him to. So Paul is saying, I want you to know God taught me this. I am teaching you this so that you can understand how to have it too. Because that is what glorifies the Lord. And it's God's purpose in eternity past, guess what? To glorify himself through your life and mine. So verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of God. And we will begin to see that self has to be removed and eradicated from our lives. And I want you to know something. This work, Paul said, I don't live like I've obtained it. We don't ever attain it, but we do experience more of the grace of God, and it will cause us to be hungry for more of God. And we will begin to say, yes, Lord, continue your work. Do your work, Lord, that I might see you, because that's where lives are changed, and that's where I see my prayers being answered, and that's where I see you being glorified. Okay? So God wants us to comprehend. Listen to the will of God in verse 18. Notice, may be able to comprehend with all saints. He wants all saints to have this. What is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you hearing that? So in other words, we're not filled with all the fullness of God until God does his work, and that God, it is God's will that we be filled with all the fullness of God. So don't answer this out loud. Look to your life. What do you see? Do you see you or do you see Christ? I promise we see more of ourselves than we see of Christ. And that's not God's will. We have to be willing to submit and trust the Lord and present our bodies a living sacrifice so he can transform us. It's the way it works. It's a good thing because we can't do the work without him. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Praise God. He can do it. According to the power that worketh in us. That's his. Notice what he says here. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Does that not make sense? More sense now as you see that? One last thought, and I want you to see God's intention, and that is the difference between us and the world. Does God intend us to be different than the world? Or should we be just like them? Did you see the shelves on the supermarket? What are we going to do? Who are we depending on? Who are we looking to? Did God not say, I'll supply what you need? But the world is like, hurry, hurry, hurry. Order everything now because you won't get it tomorrow. That's not God. That's us. That's us. And in case you wondered, I'm guilty of that. I've got a family, but I've got a God who'll supply for my family. But sometimes self gets in front and panics and gets in the way and forgets. It's okay. God saved me anyway. He knew me. And he knew that I don't get it the first time around. And he's patient and kind and long-suffering and continues to reveal himself and the way of his glory. Now watch this. This is the difference between us and the world. Look at chapter 4, and we're going to end here. And I'm just pretty much going to read these verses and allow the Lord to just speak to your heart. Verse 17, Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles or unbelievers walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So he's saying, this is not how to walk. This is how the lost world walks. Don't walk like them. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Don't be blind. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk in uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of, the old man. Did you see that? That ye put off, verse 22, concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the, look at that, spirit of your mind. And the Holy Spirit's involved with that. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. I'll encourage you to read the rest of that chapter, but I want you to understand that is the work of God in us. That is the power of God that God wants to work in us. And that's where we experience God. But we're going to have to stop. Come on, really. Our old man is just busy, 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 busy. Isn't it? It's just busy, 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 busy. When can we stop and say, God, I want to see you. I don't want to see me. I want to see you. What a Christmas gift God wants to give for us, to us, if we'll ask him. What a gift that will bless our lives, our family, our church family, and the world. The invitation is always the Lord's. The choice is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your revelation of what you've given to us, and Lord, what you've given to us to walk in and to enjoy and to have possession of, Lord, as you enable us. May we call upon you, Lord, to reveal these truths to us. May we call upon you, Lord, to crucify the old man, that you might break the outer shell and that the inner man might come forward and that the Spirit of God would work in and through us. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.